Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Zayin, Baba Metzia 57b, pagination is 114, at the middle of the page, at the end of a line, Ein Bahen Tashlumei, and then Kefel on the next line. But in order to appreciate this Gemara, we're going to jump back to the discussion on Nun Vav, both Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah is, and Amud Beis, pagination 112, on the fifth line, where the Gemara will explain the Mishnah. So the Mishnah stated, Elu devarim she'ein lahem ona'a. Here's a list of things that do not have the law of ona'a applied to these items. And there are four items listed. We focused on shtaros and karkaos, documents, IOUs, that are not intrinsically money, but they represent money, and karkaos, real estate, land. The Mishnah also stated a whole lot of other things about these items. Kefel, the double payment, the 4-5 payment, the unpaid watchman, Shamar Chinam, and the Nosei Sachar, the paid watchman. But starting off from what our topic was, Ona'a, the Gemara on Amud Beis asks, Minohani Mili, how do you know this rule, that there's no Ona'a by documents or by real estate? The Tanu Rabbanon, because we learned, the pasuk that talks about ona'a, not to charge unfairly on a sale, or likewise the buyer should not treat the seller unfairly according to the normal market price of this item. So the discussion was, Davar hanikne miyad liyad. It was a description of a transaction that's going to change hands physically. Yatsu karkos she'inan metaltalim. But real estate is not movable objects, and therefore it doesn't change hands in a physical sense. And on the next line, Yatsu shtaros dechsev v'chisimkiru mimkar, and likewise documents are not included in this pasuk, in this mitzvah, because it's not memkar shegufo machur vegufo kanui. It's not intrinsically the item that changed hands. It's not the big celebration on the piece of paper. It's on the $1,000 that the paper represents. Yatsu shtaros she'en gufan machur ve'en gufan kanui ve'enon omdim ela l'raya. The document is only a proof that this money is owed. It's not intrinsically that amount of value. That's why, by the way, we have this discussion that if someone would damage someone else's check, what level of liability do they have? The check is not the value. It's not intrinsically the value. What they did was they damaged the ability to collect what's owed to them. What level of liability is that? Does it go down because it's not an intrinsic type of damage? In any case, our Mishnah started off by saying that Ona'a does not apply to Karka and Shtaros, and indeed, the Gemara explains, because it doesn't fit into the parameters set by the Pasuk for the laws of Ona'a. Let's continue now on today's daf, Nun Zayin Amud Beis 57b, as I described, midway on the page. Ein bohem tashlumei kefel, these items as well, we're focusing on shtar and karka, also do not have double payments, meaning if they were stolen and we discovered the theft, the fine of paying double would not apply to these items. Minani mili. How do you know that? And the Gemara here describes something called a klal, prat, and klal. That means that it describes the scenario to which this mitzvah will apply, the laws of kefel, in a general way, then in a specific way, and then again in a general way. And the rule is that the purpose of that specific description in the middle was to indeed limit the cases that this will apply, not exclusively to the items that are listed, because then what do you need the klal before and the klal after? So it's going to be a pretty general category, but these are paradigm-type cases of what the category will include. And we see from these types of drushas that the Torah anticipated that Chazal would be enormously adept at categorizing life in terms of what type of asset is it in this particular case. And likewise, any place that there's a klal or prada klal, there's such accuracy in knowing exactly what to include and what not to include. And the more we delve into understanding the drasha, the more clear it is what the Gemara was explaining and alluding to in their reasoning. The Tanu Rabbanan, we learned, Al Kol Devar Pesha, any case of this violation that the item was stolen, klal, that's pretty general, any case, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salma, regarding an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or a garment, prat, that's pretty specific. Four items are listed. Al kol aveda, on anything that was lost, asher yomar, which he will describe this discussion of whether it was stolen or was not stolen, chaza v'kolal, to say al kol aveda, anything that was lost is again a klal, very general. Klal uprada klal, whenever you have such a description of when the mitzvah will apply, iata dan ala ke'en haprat, you go similar to the items that were specified. It's not going to be limited only to the items specified, as I explained, because there's a klal. But it has to be only items in the general rule that have a commonality with the prat. Ma prat mefurush davra metalta v'gufa mamon. The items specified were movable objects that are intrinsic value. Again, ox, donkey, sheep, garment. Af kol davar ametalta v'gufa mamon. Also anything that moves and is intrinsic value. Yatsu karkaos. So real estate doesn't move, so it's not included in this mitzvah of kefel, this halacha of kefel. And yatsu shtaros on the next line. Likewise, documents which are not intrinsically valued, they're also not included in the law of kefel. Now, one of the items that was mentioned in the Mishnah on Nunvav was hekdeshos, things that are hektish, belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. So I didn't want to focus on that for our session. I isolated the focus to karka and shtar, but it is important to know that hektish is one of the four things that is listed in that original Mishnah, and the Gemara here says the reason kefil doesn't apply to it is because amakra re'ehu, your fellow Jew, re'ehu v'lo hektish. It only applies by your fellow Jew. It doesn't apply by something that's consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not re'ehu. That's not your friend. That's not your buddy. The reason I mentioned that we should include hektish at this point in our discussions is because otherwise the next statement would not make a lot of sense. Because the Mishnah said, V'lo tashlume dalet vehe, and the payments of four or five also would not apply. Now, the payments of four or five only apply by a shor and a seh, by an ox and a sheep. And real estate is not an ox and a sheep. And shtaros, documents, are not an ox and a sheep. and no one shecht the document, obviously Dalet Vehe doesn't apply. The reason it's mentioned in the Mishnah is because there would be a case of ox and sheep, because one of the items listed is hektish, and hektish can indeed own a shor and aseh, which got stolen. And as we just learned, there's no kefel, double payment, because it's not re'ehu, your fellow. And therefore, there's also no dalet vehei, as the Gemara explains right now. Dalet vehei amar Rachmana, the Torah said payments of four or five, and not payments of three or four. In other words, the payments of four or five include the principal and the kefal fine, the double payment, and then in addition to that, there's more payment. But if the kefal gets pulled out because it's not re'ehu, so then there is no applicability of dalet vehei in such a case. Again, the case where we thought dalet vehei might apply was regarding hektish, because they can own a shor vaseh, and we're being told that once there's no kefel, there's no such multiple type payment, because it only comes in increments of four or five. Finishing off these themes in the Gemara, we have shomer chinam, the unpaid watchman, and again, there's a list of items that was specified in the style of klal uprado klal. In this case, it's kesef okelim, money or vessels. And again, the Gemara says it has to be a davar hametaltel v'gufo mamon, something that's moved and is intrinsically valued. Likewise, no se sachar, the beginning of a line right before the wide. The Gemara also over here talks about a klal uprat uklal, and the prat in this case is chamor or shor oseh, a donkey, an ox, or a sheep. And again, the Gemara says it has to be davar ametaltel v'gufa mamon, and therefore karka and shtaros, which are the two that we decided to focus on, will not have this type of law applied to them. One interesting thing, which certainly is a worthy topic of research for a different occasion, is why when the Pasuk wants to tell us davar hametaltel v'gufa mamon, something that moves and it's intrinsically valued, why does it pick in each one of these cases a different prat? In the case of kefel, it was shor chamor se salma. In the case of shamar chinam, it was kesef o kelim. In the case of nose sachar, it was chamor o shor o se. What else is the pasuk teaching me, besides just this one thing that we're focused on, that would cause the pasuk to choose different examples of the prat that's meant to teach me davar hametaltel v'gufa mamon, to exclude karka and shtar? Yashar koach. Thank you for joining.